Welcome back to Season 2 of the Jack Norris Podcast. We like to call it Jack Unmasked. Hockey stories from the 60s and 70s. Proudly brought to you by Ron Brown Implements. All your tractor, trailer, and tandem needs. Call Ron just north of Delisle at 306-834-7109. We hope you enjoy reminiscing about hockey as much as we do. So, without further ado, let's chat with Jack. Well, we're back with the Jack Norris Podcast. Jack, how are things going today?
Good. Very good.
That's good. Had coffee with your buddies this morning, did you?
Yeah, same old routine, you know, tell stories about everybody that's not there. And, of course, that's the way it goes.
Last week, we had a really good podcast there talking about Glenn Hall and the snipe hunts, which a lot of people enjoyed both. They thought it was really fascinating. The more they learn about Glenn Hall, the more that people kind of are drawn to him.
He is a friendly kind of guy. He just likes to, if he ever comes to a function, he doesn't want to go sit in a private room and have a beer. He wants to go where all the people are and just mingle in and just have a good time. Yeah, he's just a down-to-earth good kind of guy.
You remember when you asked him if he liked coaching, what he said?
Yeah, he said he didn't like it because when you're on the ice and you see the play coming down, you're at level and you can see it coming, but when you're up above, you're not in that position where you're just kind of seeing it going both ways, but you're not really getting much out of it.
Yeah, he didn't like the left-right game.
No.
He kind of admired how coaches did see that. But it kind of caught you off guard when he said no. He kind of said no, didn't he? He didn't even say well, not really. He just said no.
Yeah, it was kind of an abrupt answer, but no, he...
But I think what he meant was he just didn't like the view of it, but I think he enjoyed coaching because he would invite you out every Monday to his farm after kind of a weekend of hockey games and just to visit and to chat and to go over things, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I went out there lots and the wife went out and you guys actually came too because you're all born then and so you came as kids, but they never had any kids there. You know, it was just nice, you guys could ask him questions and he'd be in his prime then. He'd be maybe, I don't know, 50 years old, maybe not even that. No, he'd be probably 40 years old, so he could still move and show you how he did it. Instead, he would sooner show you than tell you.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah. That's the way he was.
I found it interesting that he would basically invite you guys out every Monday, though, and a whole family.
Yeah, he was really good, and we'd talk hockey. I'd learn a lot just by sitting with him and learning how to do things and what you watch, what you don't do, and what the game's all about. And he had a good attitude towards everything. He knows the game.
The Chicago snipe hunts, I had a lot of people that I know that I end up talking to them about. They just thought they were so impressed with how elaborate the plan was. They were so impressed with that.
Yeah, well, it was. And like I said, I didn't get sucked in because I kind of thought there was something fishy about this, but I just sat and said nothing. And then, of course, when they got Ray McKay and Paul Schmier, then I could see that it was a joke. So then I just went along. You just go along with it all. And I've always remembered. I just remember what happened then at that time. And it was really funny.
Today's podcast, we're actually going to talk about the WHA, your year in Phoenix. I've got the yearbook. Every game is itemized. And they say basically, you guys won 6-4. You played Houston. Gordie Howe didn't score a goal. Jack Norris played. He made 35 saves. And it's full of pictures. And going through this yearbook is a picture of a goaltender making a save flopping around or a fight.
Yeah.
It was just, it's incredible to go back and look at this book and just see how many scraps there were and how many, that was almost, of this yearbook, I would say 30% of the pictures.
Well, in those days, in Phoenix especially, they love fights. They come to a game, they wanted to see a fight. They'd hit against the board, something, and they'd jump up saying, fight, fight, fight. And that's all they wanted to see was a good fight. So we had some good ones. We had some tough guys, like Cam Connor was a young kid, but he'd fight anybody. He had a head like brick of brick. I mean, you couldn't hurt him. Peter McNamee, he would fight everybody. Maybe he wasn't that good of a fighter, but he still wanted to fight the toughest guys that were there. So, yeah, we had some great rivalries with different teams and
when you flip through this book, it really seemed to be that Minnesota was a team that every time you guys played them, it looks like it's basically a bench-clearing brawl.
Well, you know what they were called? It was Minnesota Fighting Saints.
Oh, yeah, they were the Fighting Saints.
That was their name.
That's right, yes.
They had tough guys, too, and we were called the Phoenix Roadrunners, which didn't really mean that we were tough, but, yeah, no, they had the name, and they had some really, really guys that could go.
McNamee and Gord Gallant always seemed to get into it. What was that like in the dressing room and on the ice and everything when you guys were playing Minnesota?
Well, you'd always hear in the dressing room before, Pete was a funny guy, really humorous, and he had come in and he had longer hair, not long hair, but longer than most guys. And he had a mustache, and he was very funny. And he had come in and getting ready for the game, and he'd be saying, I'm going to get myself a Gallant tonight. I'm going to get Gallant. We're going to go. I'll guarantee you we're going to go. So anyway, you just waited for the right time, and sure enough, they would go. And, yeah, they'd have some real battles. Pete would lose some, and he'd win the odd one. So, you know what, it was just that's just the game, way the game went.
Well, it's not that long ago that it was still common to even happen in the NHL. I remember going to Calgary Flames games. We saw Detroit play, and Probert was playing back then, and he was fighting. He was trying to get at Calgary's tough guy all night, and I can't remember his name offhand. I'll have to look it up. But anyways, the Calgary guy didn't want anything to do with Probert, but Probert reminds me of a McNamee and all these guys back then in the day. So Probert tried to fight him twice, and they really didn't get at it. And in the third period, he finally
said, let's go.
He finally got him to where, because the other guy kind of tied him up or didn't want anything to do it. Finally, they got fighting, and then Probert's jersey came off. And all I remember is Probert grabbing his elbow pads and throwing them to the sky. And his elbow pads were as high as the clock.
Oh.
He was throwing them that high. And I just remember that Calgary Flames guy going, oh boy.
Here we go.
Am I in trouble?
Yeah.
Because Probert is like been trying to get at me all day.
And he's mad.
And he's got no shirt on, no shoulder pads on, no elbow pads on. And he's coming in. And it was like unbelievable. And these pictures remind me of that sort of episode. But obviously back then it was way more common.
There's episodes like that. I mean, guys know, you know, and when you get in the NHL or no matter what league you're in, you're not supposed to go pick on a little guy that 5'8", 5'9", who's a little forward. And if you're a big 6'6" defenseman, you don't fight guys like that because it's not fair and the referees don't like it and they'll call you on it. Break it up before it even starts. So you wouldn't even get one punch in. So normally you know what they do now is they go to their tough guy and they'll say, you'll watch them be facing off right across from each other. And one guy will say, you want to go? And if the other guy says, no, I'm too tired right now. Or he'll say, sure.
Yeah.
So what happens is, as soon as the pucks drop, they throw their gloves off, they back up, and they go.
Yeah.
And there's your two heavyweights is what you're called. And so winner take all kind of thing, and that's the way it goes.
You had mentioned that, like, the big guy doesn't go after the little guy. A couple weeks ago there in, I think it was Washington's home opener, they were romping on our Bruins there 7-0, and that Eller goal, he was the seventh goal, and he's a younger, yeah, relatively young. He's been in the league for 5 years or something like that, but he's a European, and I don't know if he does not know the code, but he goes by his Boston's bench.
Oh, yeah, I see
and
that.
Taunts them at 7-0.
Yeah.
So the next shift, Marchand goes out there and challenges them to a fight, and he's looking like, what are you talking about? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how it was like he didn't even know, like you mentioned, like that there was a code of sort of respect that's still out there.
Yeah, and I remember that too happening. I didn't really see it, but I remember you talking about it before, and oh no, you don't do that.
You want to hear a funny story when I was coaching the junior team?
Sure.
So we were down in Pilot Butte. The play came out of Pilot Butte's zone, came into our zone, and everybody was coming into our zone, right? And so we're all got our heads turned and we're watching the play that's going into our zone there. And all of a sudden we could hear this ruckus from behind. And so we turn our head, and one of my guys, Dean DeBushker from Rosetown, actually, is skating by Pilot Butte's bench and doing the slap shot where he's got his stick and he's hitting every Pilot Butte players in the head.
Oh.
He's just like tap, tap, tap. And they're just like,
what's he doing?
What is he doing? Like, it's right, and we are the Chiefs, right? And it's right from the movie Slapshot. And we're just like, me and my assistant coach, Dwayne Horner, we're looking at you and going like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
You know? So, But anyways, so what do you think happened next shift?
So the fight started. Somebody challenged him.
Somebody came out there and challenged him, and Dean's like, "Yep, I'll fight you." And it was a pretty big guy that came out there, but Dean says, "Yep, I know what I did was
wrong,
disrespectful and wrong."
Yeah.
But when the guy got a couple good licks in on him, and he had a little bump on his forehead, but he never stopped smiling the whole bus trip home.
He'd love that, eh?
And I think of all of the different plays and things we've gone through on that team over 6 or 7 years, and core guys like Gordy, myself, Jeff, and Dwayne, we just still remember that play like it was yesterday. it was pretty funny.
I can just see him stirring those guys up by doing that. They would just say, "What's going on here?" Yeah. They would jump up and...
Everybody's like, "You send him out to do that?" I'm like, "Yeah, I sent a guy out there to go slap all their heads with a stick."
That's funny.
It was pretty funny. So, I remember he was... we always said, joked afterwards, he was a chief for life. He could always come back and play with us anytime he wants. So,
yeah.
But kind of regressing back to the Roadrunners there. So when we had this past, was it spring? We had that fundraiser for Delisle Minor Hockey there, and they honored you at that event.
Yeah.
And we found an old videotape of you playing in LA Blades and also with the Phoenix Roadrunners. It was kind of video actually you had made about being a goaltender instructor. And
yeah.
But the clips also showed you guys playing in Phoenix, and there was that one... They had a scrap of Cam Connor and somebody. I don't know who it was. But do you remember that? Do you remember the video and showing that scrap?
No, I don't. Probably didn't see it, but I remember Cam fighting all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He'd fight every game. Every game.
Is that right?
Two or three times.
And just tough.
Yes. That's all he could do was tough.
Yeah.
All he knew was to throw him, and he wasn't scared of anybody. He didn't care.
Now, I don't know what everybody made on that team back then. But he was the first overall pick by Montreal. And to show you how tough players were in demand back then, I think he signed a 4-year deal for $600,000.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Whereas you signed a 2-year deal for like maybe $70,000 a year.
Yeah.
So to get a number one goaltender, they were paying that. But to get a tough guy, they were paying that. That's how much of a premium that there was on having tough guys in those leagues back then. Well,
the rules were way different then.
Mm-hmm.
Way different. Like third man in was no problem. You could do it. Brawls happened all the time. Get at it. But now you can't have a brawl anymore. You can't leave your crease.
Oh, no, no.
You can't.
In that first podcast we did, when you talked, we were talking about your friend, or not your friend, but the ref. What was his name?
Bill Friday.
Bill Friday, the ref, your buddy. We hope they'd call him your buddy there now because of the couple funny things that went on there. But you made this comment.
So many guys would come up and just sucker the ref because they're stupid.
So when you made that comment, I almost took it out of the podcast because I thought that's kind of crazy.
Gross.
No, I thought it was crazy.
Yeah.
I thought you're just making shit up now. And that people would go after the ref or would do something to the ref. Like nowadays in hockey, that was unheard of. Like that, you wouldn't even think about that being an option. So I'm going through this old yearbook we discussed right at the beginning there. And on page 19 here, it says, you guys are playing Houston that night. That's Gordie Howe's team. Among the 47 Houston penalty minutes was a game misconduct for Frank Hughes for cross-checking referee Brent Castleman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right in the book there, yeah.
I know. I just, when I said that, I didn't mean that guys would intentionally go after a ref, but, you know, they didn't pull away when the ref was in the way. If they're in a fight and there's a linesman in the middle, they would punch the linesman to get him out of the way so they can get at the guy.
Yeah.
That happened lots. And this cross-check that you're talking about there, I don't remember that, but I'm sure it happened because they were just mad and they would, all they'd get would be 10 minutes. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 minutes, maybe a game misconduct, maybe a small fine, but that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, unbelievable. So in all your years then, did you ever get into a scrap?
Oh, yeah. You have brawls all the time. I mean, there's benches cleared. I mean, everybody on the ice would be in it because there's no third man in or nothing like that in those days. And you could all just... So I remember one night against Minnesota fighting Saints, Jack McCartan was the goalie at the other end. And it happened kind of at our blue line or inside our blue line. And this Gord Gallant was fighting Peter McNamee, if I recall right. I'm sure it was. And Jack McCartan was a good friend of Gord Gallant. McCartan, he sees that, and he comes skating. He wasn't a good skater, but he's kind of lobby legs, and he's coming down the ice, and I see him coming. So I drop my gloves, and no helmet or no face mask or nothing, just drop the gloves, and I went out and met him just before the fight. And I grabbed him on the inside of his shoulders. That's what I was told to do anyway from the tough guy. He said, always get him on the inside. Don't be on the outside.
Yeah.
Because you can deflect punches with your arms and everything else if you grab him on the inside of their shoulders. So I remember I grabbed him, and we never talked, never said a word, and we were good friends. Jack and I were quite close. Never threw a punch. He never looked at me. He looked at the fight, and he was trying to get in the worst way, trying to get his hands in there to grab Peter's arm or something, or just to get in to cause, havoc with our guy. And he never said a word. And then after the fight went on for about 1 minute, I guess about a minute, and we kind of relaxed a little bit, and we backed off. And Jack took his hands off me and tapped me and says, good fight. That was a fight.
Yeah, good fight, buddy.
Yeah. So that, and then after the game, we're having a beer together. If we see each other in the bar, we'd go have a beer together. So
yeah, that's right.
That's just the way it was.
That's the way it totally was back then.
I've started lots of fights because when you're in the crease, and you're always guys trying to spear you and hook you and trip you and stuff like that. They're always trying that. So sure, I sucker guys with a big mitt. I'd give them a shot. And they'd drop the mitts, and we'd start going. Well, it was only maybe 3 seconds, and there's two defensemen right on him.
That's right,
would just grab him and start thumping on him. So, I started many fights, but I never finished them.
Well, it was common back then that people would crash your crease and they were trying to get really close and hit you and knock you off your game.
Exactly.
And you were always, I remember you teaching me this, even though it was basically, if there's a guy in your crease, what would you do?
You got to get him.
What would you do?
You hack him.
Yeah, you would stick him with your stick, wouldn't you?
Or the ankles.
Yeah.
One of the two. You got to do something. Or you cross-check him in the back, push him out of the way.
Yep.
And you're doing that and trying to see a puck at the same time. That gets a little difficult.
Yeah.
But now they can't, if you stay in your crease, they can't back in and touch you now.
No.
They can't do that.
You never see that anymore where they're goaltenders. Rarely do you ever see that.
Yeah. In my day, you're it's a target. You could just be hit. And so I have steamrolled many, many times by guys. Like, remember one time, this Tom Gilmore he was with, the Los Angeles Sharks he was playing with, and they had a tough team. They had Ted McCaskill and a bunch of big guys. And so the puck was shot into our end, and I go over to the corner to pull it, to get it ready for my defenseman, and I could see this guy out of the corner of my eye coming down just hell-bent for leather. Like, he wanted me. So I seen him coming, so I reached out to get the puck, and he threw his body at me, and I pulled back. Well, he just clipped me, and he went headfirst into the boards, and it's Tom Gilmore, a good friend of mine.
Oh, wow.
So I seen him in Edmonton up there after, sitting at a game there one night years ago, and I says, remember that night in L.A.? He says, yeah. He says, I said, remember you took a run at me? He says, yeah. I said, why'd you do that? He says, part of the game. He says, you're fair territory too. He said,
wow.
I wanted you. And he says, I was one of the tougher guys on one of the tough guys on the team anyway. Yeah, I just wanted you.
Yeah, that was my job.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking through this yearbook here, and there's a fight with Hughes and Gilmore. And didn't you think that one got started because Gilmore took a run at you in that game?
I would think so.
Yeah.
And Hughes, he was my protector. He wasn't very tall. He was maybe 5'10" at the most, but he was well built. He's really built. He like big arms and tough. He was a tough kid, and he didn't mind fight. He'd fight anybody too. He had no favorites. So no, it was he's quite a hockey player too. He's a good hockey player.
What I find interesting is that we've talked a lot about these different hockey stories and stuff back in the day, but that all of this stuff was just normal back then.
It was like. Even you talked to me, oh, you want to do this? And I thought, oh, I haven't even thought about that. So I got to think about a little bit what happened. But, you think nothing of it. It's just part of the game. It's just happened that way. So if you didn't like the rough going, then what are you playing for?
Yeah.
Get out.
That's true.
Get out while the getting's good.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys did. A lot of guys didn't. They would just be shuttered when they knew a guy was going to run them.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't seem to care. I just took it as part of my life, But you had to keep, your old saying is, keep your head up.
Yeah.
Then you won't get hurt. But if you go in with your head between your legs and you're playing the puck and somebody comes in and creams you, ooh, that's going to hurt.
That's right. Back then, when if you had your head down and got hit, that was your fault because you had your head down.
Yeah.
So, not the other guy's fault for hitting you.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's changed now.
Oh, immensely.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys are so big now and all that, and they're not knocking as hockey players. They're all good hockey players, and they do their jobs well. But just like that, you're talking about the other night, that guy for, I forget the two teams that were playing, Washington and somebody else, I think that big defenseman that threw the European down behind the net.
Yeah, yeah, that was Florida and Vancouver.
Yeah, like, can you imagine Don Cherry making a comment on that? He'd say, that'll teach the kid to keep his head up.
Well, and I when I saw that, I mean, I think that, I don't know how old he is, he's 18, 19, I'm not sure, but yeah. My first reaction was, that's why, in the old days especially, they didn't bring you up as an 18-year-old unless, well, I guess they did a few young, but not most of them, because you were too small to play in the league. The guys were men. And that guy just, he just did his job. He just took him to the boards, pushed him, and threw him down. But the guy seemed to go down so easy.
Yeah, I know. Like 100-pound weakling.
That guy's got... The Vancouver guy's got 5 goals in 5 games or something.
I know.
And I'm sure that defenseman's like, you're not spinning off me and scoring. And he just...
Yeah.
He probably hit him and went, oh, you are really light.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens. They teach the kids to become men.
Yeah.
That's the whole... Like, when Gretzky come up to the WHA, he's only 16 the first game we played against him, with Edmonton. And he come up, well, he just looked like he just... Hardly,
kid's tiny.
Face and kid's hands, kid's arms, and really skinny. And
it's things have changed. I mean, I was watching the Patriots Chiefs game here the other night, and this big D lineman guy had his hands on Tom Brady, had him for a sack, and thought that Tom threw the ball, so he didn't want to get a roughing the passer play, so he let him go.
Oh,
and Tom still had the ball.
Yeah,
and either I think he ran for a touchdown or something.
Did he?
And the guy was like, Oh my God.
Yeah.
I let him go because
it's
almost, safety first that you have to play these games with now.
Yeah.
It was crazy to actually see that. Like that was, and I'm sure that's what he's kind of supposed to do nowadays, but to actually let a quarterback go when you've got him. And it wasn't even a dirty hit. It was, he had him wrapped up type of thing. And Well, I mean, it is what it is. They can't take the 15-yard penalties nowadays either,
because
that's what they're taught to do. It's a fine line, right?
Yeah.
So we've had some, interesting discussions here on how tough it was back then and going through this yearbook. I'll snap a couple pictures and put them up for there and everything. But there was another level of toughness out there. And for next week's podcast, I've been wanting to do these ones for a while. You were witness to two of the most famous stick fights out there, the Smotsy Zeidel and the
Wayne Mackey Teddy Green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those are like, for people that have been around, they know about these, and they were like game changing situations, weren't they?
That brings back sad memories when I, especially Teddy Green's, even Smotsy's, and nothing erupted there, but they were going to kill.
It's such a different, people have, if you're younger than I am, you're like, what?
Yeah.
A stick fight?
Yeah.
But these happened. And the interesting thing is, so people can look them up and they'll find them on the internet, like, talking about them and everything. But you were at these games.
I was
You
there.
Witnessed them.
Yes.
So next week, let's talk about, like, being there and being witness to this and how crazy that necessarily was at the time. But it's also part of hockey history, and it's fascinating that you were actually at that game. So let's talk about those next week.
Okay.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks, Jackson, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, that ends episode 3 of season 2 of the Jack Unmasked podcast, where we will learn what it was like to play in the first year of the Phoenix Roadrunners in the WHA with the likes of, like, Pete McNamee, Gord Gallant, Cam Connor, John Hughes, and many others, and what it was like to be a part of this. It was a fascinating period, and definitely a unique one. If you'd like to be notified of each podcast as they come out every Friday, go to www.nccag.ca. Click on the podcast tab, enter your email, click subscribe, and you'll be notified of each podcast as they come out each Friday. Until we talk to you next week, thanks for listening.
and we'll talk to you soon.
The rules were way different then. In those days, and Phoenix especially, they loved fights. They tough guys like Cam Connor was a young kid, but he'd fight anybody. Peter McAmey, he would fight everybody. And he'd come in and get them ready for the game, and he'd be saying, I'm going to get myself a go-off tonight. I started lots of fights. You know, it was only maybe 3 seconds, and there's 2 defensemen right on him. Would just grab him and start thumping on him.